our next speaker is really our host today in this great square. He's also the voice of London against the war. He is our mayor, Ken Livingstone.
A victory on behalf of the Greater London Authority. Let me say I welcome this demonstration to this square. The views put by this demonstration are shared by the vast majority of Londoners, as was revealed in the opinion polls we conducted earlier this year. I have to say as well, taking up the point George Galloway mentioned, if George Bush is expecting a civic reception at City Hall, he shouldn't hold his breath. I'm not in favour of receiving people who weren't democratically elected but got their judges, Republican judges, to impose them over the will of the electorate. Equally, I say this, we will have a reception. Whilst Blair and Bush are here in this great carnival that George talked about, we'll have a reception at City Hall for the peace movement, for those who wish to see British troops out of Iraq, and those who wish to see a just settlement for the Palestinians. We will make it clear to George Bush, he doesn't speak for London, we speak for London. When I described what I thought of George Bush in terms of his own war record, you recall he avoided serving in Vietnam, another hawk that looks a bit like a chicken, and got into the Texas National Guard. And perhaps he thought there was an imminent threat of Mexican invasion, I don't know. And then of course he would have gone to prison if his daddy's administration hadn't decided not to prosecute him for insider share dealing. Now when I said these things, I had a motion of censure submitted against me at the London Assembly, put down by the Liberal Democrats. They withdrew it when they saw the hundreds and thousands of letters that poured in support, not just from Londoners, but from people in America as well. We saw earlier this week, Lynn Campbell raised what will be a difficult issue for every elected politician, in that demand that because of the problems facing British troops in Iraq, because their lives are at risk, we must now send more troops to do the job more effectively. The only way to stop the sides being at risk is to bring the troops home. I remember a decade of lies from the American administration in Vietnam that more troops would bring peace. They would not. 47 years ago, here on this platform, Anirin Bevan, the Tony Benedict generation, addressed a square as crowded as this, crowded with people protesting that Britain and France and Israel, in contravention of the United Nations and illegally, had launched an unprovoked war against Egypt. He gave one clear message that answered the lie of Tory Prime Minister Anthony Eden, who said this is to restore peace in the Middle East. If you want peace, get out, get out, get out. When British and American troops rolled through France, liberating it from Nazism, there was no question that we had to have an occupation to actually make sure that before the French could elect their government, they'd had a couple of years of guidance. Why is there always a double standard when it comes to Arabs? I am sick and tired of this. Finally, let me say this. I will no doubt be condemned again for what I said at the press conference. Let me say it again. These are not accidents. We've had 100 years of imperialist intervention in the Middle East. It has always been about oil, and it has always cost the lives of innocent Arab men, women and children. And it is not an accident. When people say Sharon's hands are covered in blood, the blood goes up to his armpits. He has had 50 years of slaughtering Palestinians. He first led an illegal raid into Egypt over 50 years ago. What was the result? An appalling casualty list of women and children. These are not exceptions. They're the typical basis of Western imperialism against the Arab nations, and we must link up with ordinary Arab men, women and children to defeat it. A government that asks for our support cannot have it.